Gopher Illustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns, and we welcome you guys back to Hate Week. As just 2 days from now, Luke, the Gophers will be taking on the Iowa Hawkeyes for the Battle of the Floyd of Rosedale, one trophy that PJ Fleck has not been able to win just yet in his career. But before we get into it any further, Luke, do you want to give the folks a word from our sponsor?
Yeah, so real quick, we do want to talk about the Goal Line Club. They're sponsoring the 2020 season of Gopher Gridiron Radio. This is a great organization if you have any interest in supporting Gopher football. One thing I'm going to plug twice here tonight is the Gopher game preview luncheon. This is going to be for Iowa for Hate Week. It will be on Zoom. Gopher greats are going to be joining Daryl Thompson and Marquise Gray. Rich, by the way, Ryan, did you know that Daryl Thompson is familiar with the podcast? He tagged us today in a tweet. He apparently eats a lot of bacon, so I'm sure we're going to hear quite a bit about that at this luncheon. So if you're interested, sign up at goalineclub.org. You do not need to be a member. Just click the link and sign up and join a virtual luncheon.
I didn't know that. Good to know DT listens. I know Guardsy does. Shout out to you, Guardsy.
I didn't know that he listens. Maybe he doesn't listen, but he tagged us in a photo in which he makes some delicious looking bacon, if I have to say so myself.
I mean, it's tough to, I guess, my world, it's tough to screw up bacon, especially because I like things a little bit crispy, but DT knows how to do it right on Hate Week.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we got three new podcast ratings. We should get through these real quick. We appreciate everybody that has jumped into this. So from Wella Lover, he says, WTH is going on with our QB play. Great show. Funny and easy to listen to. You guys should add 30 minutes. Okay.
Can you imagine if you let me ramble for another 30 minutes on preview?
So he wants us to help him understand the Tanner Morgan issue. Reeling me this Bateman. With Mo running plays, it's supposed to be a QB option with him possibly running the hall. Why doesn't he do it? Or running the ball, why doesn't he do it? So option A, he's afraid to run. Option B, he's unable to properly read the defensive end. Well, they're not always optioning the defensive end. We'll have to get into that in a little bit. Option C, the coaching staff won't let him run. Or option D, all of the above. We could easily convert multiple first downs in the fourth quarter and win the Maryland game if you just kept the ball and ran to the wide open end of the line. Face palm emoji. Keep up the great work. This is actually an interesting conversation point. We do talk about this, but I want to hear your thoughts and I'll then provide mine.
Oh, I was going to hope that you tried to tackle that one before me.
Okay, I'll tackle it. So,
go for it.
So in the RPO, traditionally when people think read option, right, you're either doing one of two things in a traditional read option. You're either optioning the three technique defensive tackle or you're optioning the end depending on what kind of read option you're running, right, or who's ever playing outside contain. In this specific instance in an RPO, you're almost always optioning the safety. If the safety comes down and crashes the box, you throw the slant. If not, you just give. Or if you have a second read and you are able to make that read, you read that second read and then you either give or take. I think that what they're doing is they're not allowing Morgan to keep and he just gives regardless, depending on how he reads that safety. That more than likely is what's happening in this situation, in my opinion.
I'm going to go with a different route. And I'm going to say that Tanner Morgan is being told to not keep the ball.
Yeah.
I would say that for two different reasons. Number one, I think it's something that we've talked about with Derek on this podcast. Somewhere in the archives, I believe Derek has tackled this question where I believe his answer would be this. The way Minnesota's blocking it up front, it's not like they're actually having Morgan read anyone. I believe they're just doing their inside zone blocking scheme. They're not actually letting a man come free necessarily. But I also believe Tanner is being told to not keep because it's technically not, he's not reading anything. It's just designed to look like he's supposed to be reading the end or the whoever the edge is there. So I understand your frustration, Wella Lover. And I hear you because it's frustrating to watch, but I don't believe Morgan is actually reading anything.
I think in the RPO he's absolutely reading the safety.
In
but
the RPO
not,
he is.
It's but, not always but, called an RPO, right? So
correct, and that's where I don't believe that on those specific instances that you're mentioning, and there's quite a few that come to mind. I believe he's just told to take it. or excuse me, to give it. Now, there are certain instances that haven't yet happened this year that happened in 2019 that Fleck would literally tell him, keep the ball here. So whether that's the coaching staff not believing that Tanner can't read it, which I would find hard to believe in year three in this RPO type of system, but I would just say Tanner's being told to not keep it slash Minnesota's not blocking it like he's supposed to keep it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's frustrating, and I wish they would change that, but that would be my answer.
I'll also say that they will let him keep it eventually. They'll have a specific read in a specific situation where they'll say keep. And we know that he's an above average runner for a quarterback. He is not the dual threat where it's like he's going to run it all the time, but he's definitely better than your average runner. So he will be a threat at some point in specific situations, but you're right. They're telling him to keep it.
I mean, you say that, but I'm not expecting Tanner to keep against Iowa. I wish he would. If he does, we can proclaim the praises that is Mike Sanford and PJ Fleck. But
I'm saying, like, there's going to be a situation and it's going to happen eventually and he's going to keep it. I don't know what it's going to be. I'm not going to say it's this game, but they're going to see something and they're going to, like, we can exploit this in a meaningful situation and he'll keep it.
Sure. I hope so. We'll see. All right. Next review will be from Boatwagon. Says, great is the Gopher Gridiron. Says he listens to a number of college football podcasts, and Gopher Gridiron is clearly one of the best in the entertainment value and quality analysis. Ryan and Luke are very knowledgeable regarding Gopher football, fun and easy to listen to, but in person, they're a bit on the shy side. Luke, I don't think you're shy.
I'm definitely not
Lord shy. Lord knows I'm definitely not shy. And I don't think I've ever been called shy in my adult life anyway.
That's something that's a little surprise to me. Boatwagon, let's get together post-pandemic. Let's talk.
Next live event, show up, my boy.
Yeah. Okay, here's a good one. Apples 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 5, 4. Interesting.
Original name.
Yeah. This pod is great, but it'd be better if Luke could ever say a name correctly.
The shade.
Love the pod, though. Hurts to listen when the Gophers are so bad. Rode the boat, Sky Umaw. All the love for Burnsy and Buerzy. Okay. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Did you see that he said row the boat in Sky Umaw?
Oh, I didn't. Oh, man.
Sky Umaw.
I was just committed to the bit.
If only you could figure out how to pronounce it correctly, you'd make Apples 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 5, 4 a very, very,
very happy
person.
Man. All right. Okay, let's get into the injury report real quick. Again, LOL, injury report. What injury report? LOL, what depth chart? They don't exist. I think the one thing to note, Ryan, is Trayson Potts. He left the game, was in a boot following the game. Speculation or wild speculation?
Like, I understand that folks get very upset now that, especially GI members, because I transcribe Flex press conferences, Sanford's press conferences, Joe Rossi's press conferences, and so they can see what questions are being asked. And trust me, folks, I hear you. I hate Zoom press conferences because there's a lot more people than normal that show up to these, because all you have to do is click on a link and there's no effort involved in showing up anywhere. But I did ask about Trayson Potts' status on Monday to PJ Fleck, even though I know the answer I'm going to get is one that it means absolutely nothing. Fleck is the absolute worst with giving you anything of quality information with injuries or anything like that. He said he's day to day, and we'll see. Yeah, folks, you remember watching the game last Friday night or Saturday night when Fleck said, yeah, Trayson Potts, I think he's going to be good to go. And they show him like 2 minutes into the third quarter. He's in street clothes and a boot. We don't know. We just don't know. And if Trayson Potts can't go, which would be unfortunate because I think that's the young man that's playing at a high level right now, you'll see more of Cam Wiley. And then maybe Bryce Williams. Sounds like he's been out with, I would imagine, COVID, because I have yet to see him play a single snap, which is surprising. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember if I've seen him on the sidelines. Maybe Owatonna's own Jason Williamson gets a snap or two. I'm not entirely sure what we'll see, but that would be the only injury that comes to mind from last Saturday night.
Okay, so we don't know much there. Obviously, with any kind of injury, it's always best to have insurance. So, Ryan, who is our favorite insurance agent here on Gopher Gridiron Radio?
That would be the Burns Insurance Agency, locally owned in Oakdale, Minnesota, by a huge Gopher fan, my father, Bill Burns. And as we've talked about for weeks on this podcast, he believes in service, service, service. So as you continue, and as we all continue to get deeper into this COVID world, and you want to make sure that you're protected, whether that's your home, your auto, your business, whatever it may be, and you think you might be paying a little bit too much, or you just want somebody to take a look at what your current insurance is and get a second opinion on it, head on over to insurancebyburns.com to learn more and to check out the website and find a phone number to call there. So it's insurancebyburns.com.
All right, so let's get into this game preview here. I'm going to spew some statistics that are straight off the internet, as one of our listeners pointed out. So if you're uninterested in this, I encourage you to click the fast forward button at least once, maybe twice. Here, 15 wow. seconds. It might be 30 seconds. I'm not entirely
just
sure.
Go.
So the Gophers come into this game averaging 36.3 points per game. Conversely, Iowa averages 29.7. Iowa, conversely, is only giving up 17.3, where the Gophers are giving up 36. It's probably no surprise that Iowa has a fairly stout defense, and everyone knows, the Gophers have a fairly porous defense, though it did show up quite a bit improved in the Illinois game. At least where can Iowa be exploited? Really, they're pretty solid defensively, but through the air and through the ground, they're giving up 213 and 100 yards each. I would expect that the Gophers are going to have to try and beat them through the air. That's where I'd hope that they'd take advantage and they wouldn't try and, you know, play it safe, as we've talked about in the past. Iowa on the season is 1-2. Obviously, this is all conference play. Their lone win has come against Michigan State last week, 49-7. We know that Michigan State does have an upset win against Michigan, an in-state rival, but, you know, for the most part, Michigan State hasn't been looked at as a strong unit, unfortunately for them. But at least from an Iowa standpoint, I'm curious, Ryan, just to get into this. I know that Petras is the new starting quarterback. He's 63 for 116 and 648 yards, two TDs to three interceptions. What have you seen through these first three games so far?
Yeah, a lot of statistics there. Boy, you threw a lot at me. I'm trying to comprehend it all. Let's start with Iowa's defense. The first thing you mentioned is they're really, really good. And I am incredibly curious to see what Mike Sanford decides to do, because Iowa's run defense is the best in the Big Ten. Whether you want to look at yards per game allowed, 102, whether you want to look at yards per carry, they're only allowing 2.6 yards per carry. And yeah, I mean, you could say some of that is a little bit played up because they've faced a bad Michigan State team. They faced a Purdue team that doesn't run the ball. Northwestern, say what you will. I mean, they're very stout defensively, but offensively, they're not exactly a juggernaut.
Mm-hmm.
So, but either way, they are very good defensively, especially against the run. And I think that starts up front with a defensive tackle that is going to be a big challenge for Axel Rushmeyer, John Michael Schmitz, and Connor Rolston. His name is Davion Nixon. He is really good, and he is a very good player in the pass and in the run. So Minnesota's got to keep him under control. But you also look at the way they've been attacking things through the air, and they have six interceptions as a defense, Iowa does, and they only allowed three touchdowns. Now, again, Michigan State kind of played up to that because they played so horribly last week. It was a pretty obvious letdown spot coming off a big win over Michigan, and they have to travel on the road to take on Iowa. Now, they've faced Northwestern. They have faced Michigan State. Not exactly passing juggernauts through the air. But the bottom line is, I really hope that Mike Sanford doesn't do what he's done for 3 weeks, and that's run the ball 40 times. Because if you run the ball 40 times against Iowa,
yeah,
I don't think it's going to work. Now, yeah, Minnesota leads the Big Ten in total rushing yards, and they have 12 rushing touchdowns. Yeah, I'm well aware of all that, and I think Minnesota's offensive line is pretty good. But it just feels like, why would you play to the strength of what Iowa does so well? And that's really defend the run. So I'm really hoping that if that doesn't work, because I truly believe that Fleck is going to tell Sanford to run the ball. It's Minnesota's identity, because that's what Fleck wants it to be. But you have to let Tanner Morgan air it out in this game. You have to. You still have Bateman, Ottman Bell, Daniel Jackson, Brevin Span, Ford, other playmakers there. And if I was going to take away the run and it's going to be third and seven because you're going to go inside zone right, inside zone left, and there's nothing there, you just have to switch it up. And that's where I am, and it's going to be one of my keys to the game, and we'll get into it here in a little bit, Luke, is Minnesota needs a hot start, and you know what's not going hot start? Run up the middle, run up the middle, play action pass, punt.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
Yeah. I was going to add one, you know, maybe a good comp for Minnesota just from a talent perspective. I think Minnesota obviously runs the ball better than Purdue, but you've got, you know, you've got David Bell in Purdue who went for 13, 121, and three touchdowns against Iowa. You know, Rashad Bateman is as good, if not better, than David Bell. So the opportunity is there. I don't think Rondell Moore played in that game, if memory serves. I can look.
He did not. I don't believe Rondell Moore has played at any point.
Yeah, I don't think he's played at all. That's what I was trying to – yeah, so – he didn't play in that. You know, I think that the there is precedent here that, you know, the Gophers could follow, you know, and target the passing game where Purdue was able to put up 282 through the air, right? And if, you know, I'd like to see that as just as much as you would, right?
You have, if not this year, when?
Yeah.
And I feel like that we've been saying that for 3 weeks now is, you have Tanner Morgan, who just a season ago was having one of the most prolific passing seasons the Gopher quarterback has ever had. If not now, when Rashad Bateman is arguably the best receiver in the Big Ten. You have Chris Ottman Bell. You have an offensive line that's pretty decent at pass protection. I wouldn't say they're good quite yet, but they're pretty decent. If not now, when? And it needs to start being when, if Minnesota, in my opinion, is going to win this football game.
And maybe it doesn't have to be that it has to be a full-out air raid, but at least something that semblance more balance in terms of in the number of runs to pass. That's all.
I'm just asking that if things don't go well for Minnesota's own running game, deviate from that and then use the pass to set up the run instead of the run to set up the pass. It shouldn't be this hard. It's football. It isn't rocket science. It's football. And then offensively for Iowa, you have to make the new quarterback beat you because Nate Stanley's no longer there. I believe the Vikings drafted him in the seventh round. And their new quarterback, Spencer Petras, has been incredibly meh. If you've watched an Iowa game, he's got some serious arm talent. He can throw the ball, you know, make some throws where you're like, boy, he's going to be special in some time. But that's the big key word there at the end there is some time. He's got two touchdowns, three interceptions. He's completing 55% of his passes. He's been very, very inconsistent of what you should expect a young quarterback to be. But it's going to come down to, can Minnesota stop the run? Can they stop a running back? Because that's something they haven't done through three games. Because running backs against Minnesota have carried the ball 56 times for over 10 yards a carry. Yeah, really? It was better last week. But do people forget that Mike Epstein went for 9.8 yards per carry? Take out the 63-yard run, Ryan. Then what happened? Why are we taking out the 63-yard run when the run defense has been gashed by big plays all year? That's part of the huge issue here. So Tyler Goodson and Mekhi Sargent are two pretty good backs for Iowa. I think Goodson's the more talented of the two. Between the two of them, they're averaging over 5 yards a carry. So if you're Minnesota, you have to make that new quarterback beat you. He's actually going to be getting back one of his receivers, who was a one-time Minnesota commit, Namir Smith-Marset, who missed last week's game because he got a DUI. Apparently, if you get a DUI at Iowa, it's only a one-game suspension, where here at the University of Minnesota, the Star Tribune would blow that thing so far out of proportion, you'd have to be expelled. But we're getting off on a little bit of a tangent here. Other than that, I think Iowa's offensive line is Iowa's offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes down to Minnesota in the run defense game. Can they stop the run? If not, you're going to see Iowa control the ball for 35 to 40 minutes. Minnesota's going to be trying to play catch-up, trying to establish the run, and they're not going to have a lot of success. So let's hope that Mariano Sorry-Marin and company have their best game of the season because they're going to need it.
All right, so real quick, with regards to the Goal Line Club, I just want to let you guys know, make sure that you sign up for that luncheon. It's going to It's going to feature Marquise Gray and Darrell Thompson. Many will remember the touchdown win or touchdown run for the win that Marquise Gray had. I think that was his junior or senior year. I don't remember exactly. But this event will also be hosted by KSTP's Joe Schmidt.
Oh, there you go.
So it'll be, and there will also be current assistant coaches who will preview the game for the Florida Rosedale. The first event was really fun. It was really well done. It was hosted by Dave Mona with a number of folks on that, including former Gopher coach Glenn Mason. If you can and you're out of state, this is just an awesome opportunity to participate in a Goal Line Club event. This is maybe the one bright spot that has come as part of this pandemic. So get to goalineclub.org, find the events page. There's a link with a Google form there where you can sign up. They'll send you a link to Zoom, and you can just log on at noon for that event. It's going to be awesome. So I highly suggest people join the event. It'll be really fun. And, you know, consider joining the Goal Line Club. This is a great year to do it. You know, Gopher football is going to be missing a lot of revenue when it comes to ticket sales, obviously, much like any Big Ten team. So if you're able to join the Goal Line Club, that money will go towards the football program to support them in the endeavors that they have. So, again, goallineclub.org. Okay, Ryan, let's get into your keys to the game. But before we do that, I do want to touch on real quickly, how long ago was it since the Gophers have won this game? Do you know off the top of your head?
I know it was at home. I think 2015?
I think you're right. One thing, I bring this up.
Do you not know?
No, I think it's 2015. Yeah. I'll look it up.
Do you think or do you know?
No, I was thinking of it. I didn't actually look it up. I'll look it up. But the reason I bring it up was, do you remember that game well by chance?
I believe Minnesota won by like,
they won big.
It was like 51-14 and Max Williams had like four touchdowns.
Yes. So what I'm trying to build a theory here is it might be the breakout game for your guy that you've been hyping for a long time.
I don't know that it's a long time, but I've certainly been on the hype train, and I'm still waiting for that to leave the station at some point.
I know at a certain point we're gonna have to start second guessing you on this, but I bring that up all to say,
thanks, Luke.
They can be exploited by the tight end, maybe. We'll see. So okay, sorry, that was a bit of a tangent, but we'll get into the keys to the game here.
All right, so my first key is a quick start is needed on both sides of the ball. And this is something I cannot stress enough to each and every one of you listeners. Since PJ Fleck took over the Gophers prior to the 2017 season, Minnesota's struggled against Iowa. No surprise. They've lost all three games because they've struggled. But it's more than that. It is. It's more than that because in the first half of all three of those games where Fleck was the coach, Iowa has a 32-point advantage. They have scored 55 points. Minnesota has only scored 23. And if you look even more micro at it, Iowa has 34 first quarter points and Minnesota has 7. That is a 27-point swing in the wrong direction if you're a Golden Gopher football fan. And the reality is that it's something that Derek Burns has mentioned with us, and he mentioned to us last week. Minnesota and PJ Fleck have struggled in game script portion of games in terms of against teams that heavily rely upon that. And you know what two teams do a ton, Luke? Iowa and Wisconsin.
Right.
So I don't think it's any coincidence Minnesota's 1-5 in those games. And what I'm trying to mean by that is this. Each one of these teams has a game script, a opening set of plays, say 10 to 15 to 20 plays that they've scripted against the opposing offense or defense that they want to run because they believe they can have early success with them. They believe by running this play against this certain, whatever the opposing offense or defense is doing, they're going to have an early advantage. Okay. Does that make enough sense, Luke?
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Okay. So the reality is Iowa has done a much better job out the gate of executing their game plan against Minnesota, whether that's they have a better scout, I'm not entirely sure, but it just seems like Kirk Ferentz knows what Minnesota is going to do and Minnesota isn't able to combat it right away. And that cannot happen for the fourth straight year against PJ Fleck's team. Now, if you look at just 2020 here, Iowa has scored 31 first quarter points the last 2 weeks. While they didn't allow a single point defensively, okay, that's a little ominous, where Minnesota has scored only 14 first quarter points the last 2 weeks while they've allowed 21. But I would note that Minnesota in the second quarter of the Illinois game and the Maryland game combined for 42 points. But either way, the general point here is Minnesota's got to get things going early in this game if the narrative is going to change. Because if you remember back to just 2019's contest, Minnesota's an undefeated team going into Kinnick Stadium. Where did they lose that game? They lost it in the first 20 minutes of the game, where Iowa scores three touchdowns on their first three possessions, and the Gophers only score three total points on their first three possessions, although they had all three drives go within the Iowa 33-yard line. So for the remaining 40 minutes of that game, I'd say Minnesota was the better team, but what does that matter? Because the first 20 minutes were too big of a hole to dig out. So if you're Minnesota in this game on Friday night, you cannot get into this early hole for the fourth straight year against Iowa. You match their intensity in the trenches. And as I talked about earlier, Gopher football coordinators Mike Sanford, Matt Simon, Joe Rossi, and Joe Harris-Simiak have to get their acts together on their respective sides of the ball to get this team executing at a high level in the first 15 minutes of the ball game. I mean, they just have to, because or else it's going to be, here we go again, as Iowa takes a 10-0, 13-0, 14-3 lead at the end of the first quarter. Offensively, I'd love to see Minnesota do something they haven't really done much of through three games. Be creative. Don't have the opening three-play sequence be inside zone right, outside zone left, find Bateman on a slant, punt. Iowa knows that's coming, so do something different. Maybe play action to Brevin Spanford across the middle.
Hey, now.
Because that's something we haven't like, imagine going play action to a tight end streaking wide open down the middle of the field. Heaven forbid that happens. Maybe you get Ottman Bell deep on a double move, because I can assure you Iowa's just going to try to take away Rashad Bateman. Do something to throw Iowa's defense on their heels so they're thinking. And if the Iowa Hawkeye defenders are thinking, they're not playing fast, and that's when you come back to your bread and butter, and that's the zone running game and the RPO. But for the love of all that is holy, Luke, please, Mike Sanford, switch it up early in this game with formations, with play calls, with things that Iowa hasn't seen to make them readjust their game plan. Because once they start to readjust, then you could potentially come back to this RPO and zone running game. As I mentioned, Iowa is the number one run defense in the Big Ten through 3 weeks. They're only allowing opposing ball carriers to gain 2.6 yards a carry, only allowing opposing teams to rush for just over 100 yards. I understand that Minnesota has had a ton of success, but Iowa's going to try to take away two people, Mo Ibrahim, Rashad Bateman. So change it up offensively and defensively and have this team coming out hot. My second key to the game, make Iowa's quarterback Spencer Petras beat you. The reality for Minnesota's defense through three games is this. They haven't been able to stop a running back. They haven't. There's only 56 running back carries against the Gopher defense. It's roughly 19 a game. But they're averaging over 10 yards a carry doing it. They've totaled 563 rushing yards and 56 attempts. Luke, 10 yards a carry against running backs ain't going to win you a ball game, especially against this team called the University of Iowa. What do they love to do? Run the ball. They got two pretty good running backs in Tyler Goodson and Mekhi Sargent, both averaging over 5 yards a carry. But it's as simple as that. It's Iowa. They want to run the ball. They want to hide this young quarterback. So if I'm Joe Harris-Simiak, who I believe is still going to be calling the plays this week, you need to sell out completely to stop the run. You have to. You have to. And you need to do one thing specifically better. This needs to be Minnesota's best tackling game of the season, and it's not close. Because if you're going to sell out to stop the run, you need to make some of these tackles. And then linebackers, Mariano Sori-Marin specifically, Jordan Howden specifically, need to have their best tackling games of the season. Because if Iowa's just going to be able to run the ball all game long, it's just going to be Iowa ball control. Minnesota's offense is never going to see the field. So if I'm Harris-Simiak, I'm committing one of his safeties, because he also coaches the safety position, put them in the box, put Coney Durr and Benjamin St. Juice on islands all night, where it's going to be them versus Amir Smith-Marset, them versus Brandon Smith, two talented receivers, certainly. But if Iowa wins this game because Spencer Petras is the reason, that's the way I'd want to go down. Make him go win a ball game on the road on a Friday night under the lights when it's 40 degrees and it looks like it might be raining. Make him beat you, all right? Because Petras has been a game manager at best. 55% completion percentage, more interceptions than touchdowns, and his longest pass has been 40 yards. It's not exactly like this is a huge big play offense in the passing game for Iowa thus far. So if you can find a way to somehow put Iowa in a negative game script where Iowa's trailing, and if they're trailing, they probably can't be running the ball as much as they want. That allows Boye Mafe, D'Angelo Carter, Asezi Otemiwu to pin back their ears, get after a quarterback, something that they'd got to do last week against Illinois, because Petras is not a mobile quarterback. Karan Taylor and Talia Tungo-Viola, the last two quarterbacks Minnesota's faced, they can beat you with their legs and escape the pocket. Petras is not going to do that. If you can get on him, he's not going to make this incredibly crazy athletic spin move and then run for a 40-yard touchdown. It's just not going to happen. So stop the run. Make St. Juste endure. You're arguably your two best corners or two best and most consistent players in the defense. Make them earn it. And then finally, Luke, it's my favorite thing to talk about each and every week. Special teams actually has to help the team. Now, before we even start this, I've had some people angry with me because they're like, Ryan, last week, they were actually pretty decent. They were. Yeah, I hear you, Todd. They were actually decent. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? I can't tell you how many people were just like, how come you're so hard in special teams? Because I got so many Gopher Illustrated members or people on Twitter just saying, wow, did you see that game? Good for the Gopher special teams. Folks, they were average. Like, what? Like, they didn't help. They didn't. I mean, Dragon Kesich returned. And yeah. We actually had a kicker that could kick it to the goal line. Quite a concept in the Big Ten. Mark Crawford, my guy Mark Crawford, made his debut, punted it inside the 15. What do you want to say here, Luke? I can hear it.
No, I was just going to say, like, sure, they didn't help, but they also didn't hurt you, right? So, and I think that's the thing.
I mean, they missed an extra point.
That's,
now, it didn't matter.
That's true, didn't matter, ultimately. But,
and we have nothing resembling a return game.
I think what you're asking for, though, Ryan, is what you're asking for them is to go win you a ball game. Make a play that's going to be the difference, right? That's
well, here's
what you're
the
asking
thing
for.
Is, you want a special teams that's going to actually help you win the game? Let's look at Iowa. Okay, let's do that. Iowa special teams via Luke's guy, Bill Conley at ESPN with the S&P+.
Which he's behind the paywall now. Come on.
I know. Somebody has to collect a check. I get it. Iowa special teams are currently rated as the 25th best in college football. Luke, you want to guess where the Gophers rank?
Probably in the 80s.
Worse, they're 90th.
Oh, that's close.
They are 90th. You don't want to know why? Well, let's look at it. Iowa ranks first in the Big Ten in net yards per punt at 46.5. Boy, I'm a little excited thinking about 46 yards a punt right now, especially Minnesota, 33 net yards per punt. That is a 13.5 yard difference in field position. It's absurd. Iowa has got a really good special teamer by the name of Charlie Jones, as Iowa ranks first in punt returns and punt return yards. He also, Charlie Jones, returned one for a touchdown last week. Iowa also ranks second in kickoff return yards per second in kickoff return yards per return. So they got a return game. They got a punter that can absolutely flip the field. Okay. So here's what I want from Gopher special teams this week. Last week, I just wanted them to be average and they met the challenge. Here's this week. You have all your specialists back and more or less healthy. So it's time to perform. Mark Crawford, if you get the opportunity, let it loose, flip the field, show what that 26-year-old Australian leg can do. Because, Luke, let me remind our listeners that in Minnesota's last 52 punts, they have a total of two punts that have gone 50 yards or further. That is incredibly sad, and it makes me incredibly sad. I'd also love to see Minnesota make a field goal of 41 yards or longer now that Lance is back and healthy, and we don't have to have Brock Walker kick through a hernia. And the stat that continues to make me cringe is that Minnesota has made one field goal, a total of one field goal of 41 yards or longer in two calendar years. That was last made by Emmett Carpenter almost 2 years ago to the date now against Wisconsin. It has stretched into three seasons, and that's not good. So if Minnesota stalls at, say, the 25-yard line, Michael Lance, be still my beating heart, young man. Please come in and nail that thing. And then Dragon Kesich in game number two, Minnesota's new kickoff guy. I had this bad feeling while I was writing the preview for the week. I was like, this is, you know, game one was pretty good for Dragon. By the way, he's going to be my new favorite name to pronounce for the next 4 years if he's the kickoff guy. It's not Dragon Kesich. It's Dragon.
Dragon.
Dragon. If he can just, I had this bad feeling that he's going to kick one out of bounds this game. I was like, things have gone too well, more or less, the last six quarters for Minnesota's kickoff team. Dragon, please keep the ball in bounds. Continue kicking it to the goal line so Iowa cannot gain any field position, because we'll get into this in our prediction segment here coming up. Vegas thinks this is going to be more or less a tightly contested game. They're thinking it's field goal spread. So you know what's going to matter when it's 40 degrees and potentially raining? Special teams are going to matter in yet another game for the Gophers where their opponent on paper is going to have an advantage, Luke.
All right, so let's actually get to these predictions, or get to the predictions. So first, some betting lines. The Gophers currently are a 3-point dog. I got the over under at 58. Minnesota is 1-2 against the spread, where, yes, they are 1-2. And Iowa is 1-1-1 against the spread. This game is at TCF Bank Stadium, 6 p.m., November 13th on FS1. Real quick, a look at the weather. I know you love to be the meteorologist, but I'm going to take a stab at this, Ryan. About 38 degrees at kickoff, and that's going to pretty much hold. The feels like temp is going to be just above 30, probably 30, ranging up to 35 by game end, getting warmer as we go. The humidity also is slowly going to increase, and wind is going to slowly drop starting at kickoff around 10, dropping down to about 6 to 8. So the wind shouldn't play a big factor.
And if the humidity is increasing throughout the game, Luke, what does that probably mean is that, on the way or that, is going to occur during the game?
There could be some light rain. Some light rain. It's looking like right now the probability is somewhere below 25% as we record this Wednesday night. But still, there's still a possibility. So that dew point and that humidity will slowly be rising.
So what do you think? I mean,
okay. So you know,
I was 3.5 favorite on the road.
Yeah,
57 over under. You've heard my keys to the game, or you know what? I at this point of the podcast, with how many episodes we've done, I just figure once I start rambling on keys of the game, you just kind of put your headphones down, maybe go to the bathroom, go get a beer, and then you come back and you hear me still going, then you pull up YouTube or something. But
I have done that.
I would expect nothing less from you, Mr. Luke Pugh.
Hey, so I'm the only person.
Give the folks their prediction. They want to get out of their cars, or they want to stop shoveling. I mean,
at
this point,
I just
you're shoveling your neighbor's sidewalk.
I've listened to every episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio ever, even the one that I didn't participate in. I listened to in a train in Japan that you monologued. I've listened to every single episode. So.
I forgot about the monologue episode.
Okay.
Oh, I hope no one ever finds that.
So I am going to pick Iowa. I picked the Gophers in every game this year so far. I'm going to, you know, Iowa's won the last five. I did look it up. The last win for the Gophers was 2014, not 2015. And it was quite the blowout at home. I'm going to pick Iowa. I'm going to go with 27-24. I'll give it the
over. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That is,
I didn't read your piece. If that makes you feel any better,
it's not even out yet. How are you a mind reader? All right. Anyways, if you haven't listened to a single word and you scroll to the end of this podcast, here's what you need to know: Minnesota's got to win the first quarter. The run defense has to tackle better and stop the run, so you make the new Iowa quarterback beat you, and the Gopher special teams help the team. Now, a ton of money has come in on Iowa to win this game. I believe it opened as a pick'em.
It did.
And now it's Iowa minus 3.5. And the over-under has risen, I believe, 5 points since opening as well, which is surprising to me. And I can't blame them. Fleck has yet to beat Ferentz in this rivalry. And Iowa's strengths are important here. They're very stout defensively against the run. And Fleck and Stanford want to run the ball 40 to 50 times a week. So essentially this game comes down to this. Do you believe that PJ Fleck is going to tell Mike Stanford to run into a brick wall 40 times a game? If you do, and you think Minnesota's going to run it 40 times for 170, so you're just over 4 yards a carry. If you told me Minnesota's going to run the ball 40 times on Friday night, no chance they win. I don't see it unless this offensive line in this tight end group, the Minnesota Moving Company, as I like to call them, have their best game of their careers. Mm-hmm. And Mo Ibrahim continues to play at a historic level. It can happen. Is it within the range of possibilities? Sure. Certainly. But in my mind, Tanner Morgan has to go win the game.
Yeah.
Tanner Morgan's got to have his best game of the season. I thought he was incredibly average last game against Illinois, and he needs to play a lot better. He needs to make some better throws, make some better reads. But I want to put that on my quarterback. It is a home game against your big rival, and you haven't really thrown the ball in 3 weeks. Make Tanner Morgan the reason you win or lose the game. That's what I want to see. And then I'd love to see Mariano Sorry-Marin have the best game of his Gopher career. Now, here's what I'll say. Mariano has played better against teams that don't do all this motion and don't try to string you out sideline to sideline. That's what Illinois and Maryland want to do. He's played better, or he did play better last season against the Wisconsin and the Iowa types. But Sorry-Marin just needs to have the game of his season, if not the game of his career, because Minnesota needs to tackle well in the box. And Sorry-Marin's got to get off blocks. Whoever the other linebacker is next to him needs to get off blocks. And then Howden and Newbin at safety positions need to make tackles to have, instead of a 56-yard gain, it's a 6-yard gain. But until you can prove to me that PJ Fleck has solved his first quarter woes against Iowa and that they can stop the run, it's tough to – I can't pick Minnesota to win this.
Same.
I'd love to, but I have Iowa 27, Minnesota 24, because Luke somehow has access to my piece on Gopher Illustrated. Again, if you told me Minnesota can perform a whole hell of a lot better in the first quarter, if you told me Mike Sanford's just not going to run the ball into a brick wall, and you told me Sorry-Marin and Newbin are going to have their best games of the season specifically, I'm in. I mean, yeah, this is a very beatable Iowa team. It's just I hear what you say, and I trust what you do, and I want to see Minnesota do it with my own two eyes before I can pick them in this game.
You know, one thing we might have overlooked in this entire preview is they're without their strength and conditioning coordinator that made over $1 million.
Yeah, they certainly are. And Brian Ferentz still has a job, even though he was certainly named as much as the strength coach was in those implications. But do you know who Brian's dad is? This guy named Kirk, who runs the program. So.
I mean, is there an active lawsuit, I think, even?
There is, and the Iowa players are suing them for, I believe, $8 to $10 million. Iowa's also had 4 guys transfer in the last 2 weeks. This is about as susceptible as an Iowa team has been, especially with Minnesota getting them at home. And I cannot stress to you enough, when I've talked to people in the Gopher football coaching staff in the last year, or since the 2019 season ended, they want this game badly. Haven't won against Iowa.
Yeah, this is the only Big Ten West team they haven't beaten, right?
They want this game.
Yeah.
Because they're tired of, I mean, where I'm going to put an explicit tag on the podcast, they're tired of Iowa shit-talking them. Because the Iowa coaches definitely are. I mean, say what you will, believe what you will. I can confirm they are definitely doing it to recruits,
sure,
to parents, to whoever will listen. And I know that Ferentz and all those Iowa coaches don't like Fleck. Fleck don't like them.
Ferentz.
Well, that's great.
Ferentz and Ferentz sounds like a boy band name. I really like that, actually.
Well, it sounds like my lawyer. Ferentz and Ferentz.
Sure.
Law group there. But anyways, I hear what you say. Go for football staff, and I trust what you do. Go out with a game plan that puts you on the right foot early in this game, and then you can talk all you want after the game. But let's see how Minnesota handles it.
All right, so we'll be back Sunday to review this game with Derek Burns. Please rate and review the podcast. We appreciate Insurance by Burns and the Goal Line Club. Do join that virtual event on Friday. We want to thank you for listening. Go Gophers.